Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying hello to me.
I am, because you're a Joe Scrubbles.
Hello.
And I'm Daniel Krupa, and welcome to the Windsor Knot, a royal wedding podcast. Now, today, we're going to be mainly talking about the guests at the wedding of Harry and Meghan, which is, of course, only 94 days away, 3 months, 5 days, 13 weeks, and 3 days, depending how you like your time measured out.
Minutes.
I haven't written that one down.
You absolute chancer.
But there is a website that will do that for you. It's lovely to use. But before we get onto that, there is breaking news, Joe. Well, it's a few days old now. We've got some details, firm details about the date. So
exclusive deets.
We obviously knew it was happening on May 19th, but...
I mean, I'd kind of forgotten that.
don't let that day be dislodged from your brain.
Okay.
The wedding is kicking off at midday.
Right. So we can work it out to
a
minute.
It's a midday wedding. Which is unorthodox, because obviously it's unorthodox already. They're doing a Saturday wedding.
And the banana cake.
Because it should be, like, there's nothing that is orthodox about this wedding.
These absolute, they're like, they might as well be hippies.
Yoga instructors.
Might as well be bloody yoga instructors.
So it's kicking off at midday on a Saturday of all days. Like commoners do. They have weddings at weekends.
Yeah.
Usually the royals do it on a weekday.
Well, yeah, because usually you want time off for it. They've absolutely shafted us.
And so the wedding will be officiated by Justin Welby, who is the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Good old Justin. Now, I thought you were going to say Justice, the French electro band.
Sadly not.
No.
Sadly not. So far, they haven't been confirmed as taking part in the wedding in any format.
We're not going to hear D-A-N-C-E.
But I did some like delving into Justin because I wanted to check out that he was the right man. He was up for the job.
I'm not going to make that joke.
Oh, hello.
I was going to demean a man of the cloth.
I think that's fine. You don't know what he's been up to. His father sounds like a right wrong'un.
Really?
Yeah, his father sounds like a right hellraiser.
What
not
was
that,
he doing?
Not that sort.
Knocking mailboxes off of off the sidewalk
really
with a baseball
bad.
Bat.
His father nearly married Vanessa Redgrave, the actress.
That's he's gone wrong there by not marrying Vanessa Redgrave.
I know, but the reason he didn't marry Vanessa Redgrave was because her mother wrote to Sir Michael Redgrave denouncing his father, called Gavin Welby, and she referred to him as a real horror.
Ooh.
A pretty rotten piece of work.
A bloody hell.
Turns out I think he was an alcoholic. But this is all...
Who was the rower? Is he a Redgrave?
Oh, Stephen Redgrave.
Stephen Redgrave?
Five-time Olympian.
Is he
across
part?
Five... No, I think
he's... Is he in that crew?
No, I think he's an unrelated Redgrave.
Well,
I think he has relatives.
Welby was a real rotter and he was a real rower.
And I was like, you know, obviously, you know, doesn't poison the well. Justin could be a fine chap and learn from his father's mistakes.
Well, it sounds like he's gone all the way the other way.
But then he found out a few years ago, Justin isn't even related to Gavin Welby. Is that much of a wrong'un? Turns out his mum's also a wrong'un because she was lying to Gavin. His paternity testing in 2016 revealed that his father is actually Sir Anthony Montague Brown, who was Churchill's private secretary.
This is like... the most complicated and high-status episode of EastEnders that's ever happened.
That's the thing. Like, the upper classes might like to pretend they're very dissimilar to us common folk.
But
like
they like munching down a banana cake like the rest of us.
Just at it.
Absolute banana fees.
Yeah, so that's like...
How's that become a thing in our lexicon already? if you don't understand all the banana references, listen to last week and our discussion of cakes.
Yeah, and if chicken comes up, listen to episode one. It's very... The thing is, this might all seem to you, the listener, kind of hashed together at the last minute.
Ramshackle.
It is finely and densely plotted.
It's like a Daniel Kitson stand-up show. Everything calls back to everything else. There's an internal consistency that won't emerge until the very end, at which point you'll proclaim us geniuses and we'll never go on TV again.
The last line of the show will run perfectly into the first line of the show, like Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce.
It's going to be like a Mark Z. Danewski novel around here.
It's a podcast or a Boros. So Justin, you know, seems like the guy he thought was his father for a long time was a bit of a rotter, but he seems all right. I'm okay with Justin doing it. He's become Archbishop of Canterbury.
Yeah.
You know, that's the man you want for the job, I think.
Has he spoken out about the post-Churchill revelations?
He's been quite...
The Montague Brown
quiet
Revelation.
About it.
That's a very good novel name, The Montague Brown Revelation.
Yeah, definitely. But so he was Churchill's private secretary for years and years and years.
He's got to be in Peaky Blinders. That Churchill's in that.
Is he?
I bet, yeah.
I don't watch any Peaky Blinders. I don't even know what it's about. I know Cillian Murphy's in it with a flat hat.
About naughty boys in Birmingham.
In that time period? I thought it was Victorian.
The old days. It's 1900s. So like...
On the edge of it.
Or 1920s? I think it's like Churchill, the early years. It was before he was the big dog. It's when he was just being sort of a arsehole to normal people, not Germans.
The Darkest Hour came out and everyone's fating Gary Oldman's performance. Mm. And then a friend of ours told me that Churchill was a bit of a shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I went into reading some of it. Yeah.
He's done
really
don't
bad
get me wrong.
Stuff.
Good war
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, stop Nazism.
Get him out after.
Yeah, there's
get
lot.
Get rid.
He had some really unsavoury views.
Did he?
Anyway, it's not about exposing Churchill.
Wait, Churchill, wrong-un.
Mother Teresa, she was a right wrong-un.
What?
She was. Christopher Hitchens wrote an expose of Mother Teresa.
I don't think Christopher Hitchens is the least biased source you can have.
Yeah, no, but at least he didn't go around professing to be holier than thou.
Quite literally holier than thou. We've got a weird route here.
Anna,
Welby!
Anyway, Justin Welby's a fine chap to be doing it. He will be assisted with the Right Reverend David Connor, who's the Dean of Windsor. So he's got two priests on the go.
Double tag team. He's on the ropes. He can't remember the vows. She's in.
So he's got backup. It's two-man job. It's two-vicar job.
Listen to Radio Stakhanov Property Wrestle Me.
So it's going to take place at midday in Windsor Castle's 15th century chapel.
Good one.
Lovely. Then 1 p.m. there'll be a carriage procession.
A bit later than Edward III. They fucked it there.
I know. But it's going to take... the carriage procession is going to take them through the centre of Windsor. So all the public can go up at them.
Oh.
Which would be lovely for everyone involved.
No homeless.
And then the reception will take place at St. George's Hall for couple and guests. And Warren Kramer replied to the tweet announcing this. And he said... What's a beautiful interior, especially the ceiling. And I've seen a picture of it, Joe, and I agree.
What are we looking at?
Oh,
filigree.
Runnels. Lovely detailing.
Cornicing.
There were cornices.
What are the bits on window? Mullions. We've got mullions on the windows.
It's just nice.
It's good.
It's not like wood chip.
What about a buttress?
It's not wood chip. I remember I had wood chip on my bedroom ceiling when I was a kid.
It took my mum...
Bloody months to get off. It did.
It seems very...
Don't say northern.
No. Because I had wood chip in my house growing up in Canada. But it seems very unstable to me. Like, when I look at it, I'm like, that shouldn't be on a wall. Shouldn't be holding anything.
Well, it's not pleasing to look at.
Oh, no, absolutely
it's
not.
A weird, makes you look like uneven, rough texture.
You're in a scout hut all the time. It's weird.
Oh, that's what I imagine Canada to be like.
What? Well, absolutely. What, being in a scout hut the whole time?
Everyone's been really nice and trying to,
get badges. Yeah, we don't have money over there. It's just badges.
Were you actually ever a cub or a scout?
No, absolutely not.
Oh,
I don't.
I was a beaver.
I hated the idea of being around other people.
And a scout. And there's a clipping of me. I was a rather fat child. And my mum has a clipping of me in the local paper when I was a beaver, and it's me wearing a very large Charlotte Hornets t-shirt, the American basketball team, who I was very into as a 9-year-old child.
Were you actually?
apparently, my best friend Andrew Lake, and we were on a raft that we built at camp, crossing a lake, incidentally.
Lake on a lake.
I'm not going to lie, because I was a large child, my side of the raft is going considerably more into the water than his side. I felt like I was going to let my best friend down. It's actually probably a trauma I've never recovered from.
This seems, again, seems to be an outlet, this podcast, for your childhood trauma.
Yeah. I was a fat kid and nearly killed my best friend.
in a name that would be so ironic. Like, no, the problem is that if he had drowned in that lake, no tabloid would be able to resist Andrew Lake drowned in a lake, or, you know, a better pun than that, that they would have more than 3 seconds to think of and embarrass themselves.
One lakey.
Lakey! Well, as he drowns. Go on!
I shit and go swimming badge. But yeah.
Closest I came to organised group fun as a child was a football team, which I left after I was called a donkey once.
Why?
I hated it so... Well, I was bad.
Oh, right, okay.
I hated it so much being called a donkey that I never played in a football team again. I was like,
that's humiliating for a child.
It is.
That's a scar.
I was the only one who wanted to play goalkeeper, and I liked being goalkeeper. But as soon as I let one in, they called me a donkey. I'm like, I haven't got one now.
I didn't know if it was like a weird continental epithet, like an affectionate thing, like feed the goat.
Hello, donkey.
Pass to the goat. Pass to the donkey.
Donkey! I literally can't say donkey without thinking of Shrek, which is a problem with our culture.
Or crying. So that's the main details they released of the wedding. So there you go.
I like the idea that they have to... They get married, and their first act as a couple is having thousands of people just look at them.
Quite nice, though.
Authentically medieval.
Well, I guess, like, the equivalent is when you get married, traditionally, you would exit the church, and all your friends and relatives do a similar thing, like, you know, shower you with, like, what's it called? Rice paper?
Mustard.
Check with the vicar. Please check with the vicar. Not every church allows it. And they kind of, like, you receive adulation and... Mm. This is just a bigger version of that. That's just going down High Street.
Yeah, am I right? Is it just Game of Thrones where this happens? Or was real life in medieval times, they would all carry you up and watch you have your first sex?
What?
That's a thing that apparently... Well,
I've done it.
In my head, I think it's true. Like, the married couple would be carried upstairs to their bedroom and the consummation would begin.
I think I've been... Because obviously, doing this podcast, been reading into, like, royal history. I think I've come across that story of, like... King's getting, you know, excessively drunk on their wedding night and
not being
their
able
friends
to...
going into the wedding room, the bridal.
Noi.
Yeah.
But Edward III didn't have problems with that.
What, sorry?
I bet Edward III never had problems with that. I love Edward III now.
Do.
I know so much about his life, but so little about him. And I think I want to make a Wes Anderson-style film about
his
troubles.
The problem with history, you're forever removed from him.
That's so true.
But yet so close.
Like death as well.
Right, what are we going to do now?
Oh, right, next. Right, so our episode is mainly... That was breaking news. That was the Sky News 24-hour...
If you listen to this podcast, you probably already heard it.
...section. Well, if I was... the kind of listener I'm thinking we have, judging by the quality of our output, is someone who's not actively taking an interest in royal wedding business. Mm. And, listener, if I have demeaned you there, I apologise. Maybe you knew already. But I'm guessing... 3 days late is about as breaking as it gets for most of these people.
Yeah, yeah.
We can still hear the smash echoing. but the main focus of today's episode is the guests at the wedding. We're going to start with the most special guest of all.
Queen.
Ed Sheeran.
Oh.
Ed Sheeran has apparently, according to Entertainment Tonight, been invited, but has not yet accepted the opportunity to attend and play at the wedding of Harry and Meghan. As they put it cleverly, the royal ball is in Ed Sheeran's court, which is a mixed metaphor that I can't get down with. So a source tells ET,
what?
The extraterrestrial, that the Shape of You singer has been asked to perform a few songs, not many, not like those DJs who take control, at Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's royal wedding in May. They've reached out to Sheeran's rep regarding the request. But for the meantime, if Sheeran accepts, Meghan and Harry will have landed the perfect song for a first dance. I think he's got a song called Perfect.
Oh, right.
I don't know enough about Ed Sheeran.
I thought it was like a pun on pairing, like a cat.
All
I can think about when I think of Ed Sheeran is that massive lion tattoo
he has
on his
chest. That's so weird.
Which is extremely patriotic, Because instead of like three lines on his chest, he's got one massive fuck off one.
Imagine that if he just, he's like, you hurry.
You hurry.
Have a bang on this. You're the lion to
just
me.
Just rips it open. One line on had, my chest.
He's had his cat's face replaced with Harry's face, but with a big old mane.
I do think it's a bit of a cheeky invite though. Like, because he's not been invited, he's been asked to perform. And if so, specify how many songs with you want. He'll get back to you with details.
I should have looked into this, actually, because this has become something of a... I'm assuming it's always kind of happened, but yeah. Ellie Goulding performed at Kate and Will's.
Okay.
And she was a big deal at the time. So I think they have a sort of in vogue-ish pop star to play at a lot of them. But I didn't look into whether she was invited as well. She must have been.
That's the thing, though. Have you been invited because they know him, or is it like, here is our... entertainment.
Well, Harry has met Ed Sheeran before, which we'll get onto later. But I do wonder. Maybe he's sort
like,
of a jester.
It's not cool like to invite your mates to stuff, but you're like, oh, can you do some photos?
Harry just saw
because I know you have a camera.
Yeah. Sheeran appeared on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I reckon that's popular enough that Harry's seen it. Maybe he just saw him. He was like, I like that little chap in the hat.
Let's get him in.
Get him on.
That scene was widely derided.
Awful business, but I don't know if Harry's got a lot of
quality
control.
Would you
think
he wants him to bring the loot? Because that's what he plays in that scene.
I think he wants him to play his old-styly, you know, medieval business. Or Meghan's asking for it. Bring back the old days. The old family business.
Like she's Lannisters.
Well... I mean,
she would be Daenerys in the
she
metaphor.
Would be
she's
Daenerys.
Returning from overseas from a period of exile.
Fantastic work. All right, let's work on this. Okay. E.T.'s royal correspondent, Victoria...
You can't keep saying E.T.
I like
royal.
That I keep saying E.T. E.T.'s royal...
I'm thinking of E.T., obviously, with a crown on, because I'm that simple.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay,
it's perfect.
Good.
And like
good.
One of those sort of ermine cloaks. E.T.'s royal correspondent, Victoria Arbiter, which is a fantastic name. If you had that name, no teacher would ever be able to tell you off at school.
I think you're destined to be a royal correspondent if you have that.
Victoria Arbiter thinks Sheeran would be a great fit for the job. She quotes. Well, she does not quote. I quote her. Ed Sheeran has yet to confirm, but I'm not sure you turn down Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Bit of a worry. Bit vicious. People love his romantic love song, so he's an ideal candidate for the first dance. And I think Harry has always enjoyed Ed Sheeran. Which is weird.
I don't know. Like, I've listened to some Ed Sheeran. I'm not, like, intimately familiar with his oeuvre.
You're about to be.
But isn't there, like... Does he not, like, write a lot of, like, breakup songs rather than love songs?
I think he does a bit of both. I think he runs the gamut.
Can't have one without the other.
He's sort of the Blue Valentine of singers.
Right, okay. I thought it was all quite depressing.
No. He's very boring, right. I would say, is the main thing about
good.
Him.
Okay, good.
But apparently you'll play at the evening reception. Let's see. Sheeran has teased the idea of performing at the royal wedding before. In December, Sheeran spoke to E.T.'s Kelty Knight at Kiss FM's iHeartRadio Jingle Ball, presented by Capital One at the Forum in Inglewood, California, which is the biggest description of an event I've ever seen.
But
this,
like,
too much.
Because I've been like reading a lot of these royal stories recently. That's immaculate sourcing of information.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, sometimes good. Sources said, there's no source provided. That's got a geographical location.
Very good point. You could look that up on Google Maps and it would say exactly the same thing. And he said he'd play the ceremony, quote, if I was free. I'm assuming that was said in jest. I hope it was, because he can't be that big.
Blasé about it.
He's probably richer than Prince Harry now, though.
Yeah, probably.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe he's just
like,
going to blow it off.
Prince Harry probably isn't that rich by himself, is he?
In the grand scheme.
Nah.
It's sort of a big trust fund, though, isn't it, Buckingham?
What Britain?
Just full of gold. Yeah, just Britain.
It's Britain, yeah. It's
Do you reckon he could take any sweet out of a sweet shop he liked?
I think he could without... with a lot of stuff.
He could. He just leaves big cakes made of cheese wherever they're made.
The fact that he could get away with a lot of stuff that he's turned out as well as he has.
Yeah.
He reflects very well on him.
Fair play to him. Actually, very good point. Sheeran says, I get asked this all the time if I know the... I get asked this all the time like I know the royal family. I've met Harry once. And that was in 2011 at his Grand's Jubilee. Which, it's like a weird juxtaposition of words, isn't it?
Yeah.
His Grand's Jubilee.
That's just...
I can tell you... Easily, neither of my grands have had a jubilee.
But also, like, I'm only going to someone's nan's party if I know them really well.
Yeah, that's a good point as well.
Like, I know the Queen has her own draw.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna discount Liz's attraction. Mm. But like, if you go into someone's nan's party, you're good mates with them.
I mean, you're willfully ignoring the context of that party, but that's fine. Yeah, he went to his grand's jubilee and it was like, hey, I barely know him. That's what Ed Sheeran said. And they finish.
He started looping it on his little pedals.
And they finish on this perfect. As someone who writes news occasionally, I recognise this technique, which is, I can't think of how to finish this, so I'll take the quote and respond to it weekly. So, hey, I barely know him. Well, .. you may be getting to know him a little better now, Ed.
I mean, I thought you were going to say Ed Sheeran coming out on PlayStation 4 sometime in 2019.
Look, mate, don't deride my work. Now, I've got a little game for you, Krupa.
Hello.
I'm not done. I thought, if Ed Sheeran's going to play this bloody wedding, he's going to have to play his more famous hits. But some of his more famous hits are very specific in their love song, Uri. And one of his most famous hits, I happen to know, is a little song called Galway Girl. And I was thinking that he could play that, but it could be called LA Girl. And I was thinking, Krupa,
okay,
that if I go through the lyrics, but sort of do it like Mad Libs, okay, we could come up with a new version of Galway Girl,
okay, good,
that would suit the royal wedding. So we'll start with the chorus. She played the blank in a blank band. So it's instrument and type of band.
What's very American? What's a very West Coast kind of...
Harpsichord.
It's not Bach.
All right, what about like a Hammond organ, like old Beach Boys, West
Coast?
Yeah,
you want something like that, I think, like organ.
Yeah, she played the organ. she played the organ in a Beach Boys cover band.
Yes.
But she fell in love with a blank man.
Posh man.
Posho man. Kissed her on the blank, then I took
her... Are you writing these down? Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Write these down so we can read it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. While I do that, kissed her on the blank, then I took her by the blank.
I don't want to do this.
Do it!
I kissed her by the...
They could just be the same. This is so long, we might have to give up on some of this.
No. We're
doing the
not.
Whole song, all three verses.
Yeah. I just want to make this perfect. Which is another one of his songs.
Kissed her on the blank, then I took her by the blank.
Let's just do nice on that one. Let's be nice.
Kissed her on the cheek.
Kissed her on the cheek. And took her by the cheek.
Took her by the cheek, yeah. Said, baby, I just want to. And I think that's got to rhyme with cheek. So
speak.
Freak. I'm writing freak.
You can see why she was quite taken with him immediately.
So this is our chorus. She played the organ in a Beach Boys cover band. She fell in love with a posho man. Kissed her on the cheek, then I took her by the cheek. Said, baby, I just want a freak.
Excellent.
And I'm using freak as a verb, not a noun there.
Yes,
I just want to freak.
Yeah.
She's not a freak.
Yeah.
Verse one of three.
Strap yourself in, everyone.
I met her on Blank Street right outside the bar. Now, I was thinking, I don't know where the club, the Soho club is where they actually met. Oh. Is it Rupert Street or Greek Street?
What club did they meet at?
A club, bar Soho, like, it's that members club in Soho that's all over the world.
Oh, Soho House.
Soho House.
Let me find this. We want it to be accurate.
I think this would be not historically nice.
Dean Street.
I met her on Dean Street, right outside of the bar. I like that it's of the.
Yeah.
Right outside of the bar. She shared a blank with me while her blank played the blank.
Bit of confectionery.
She shared
Twix.
Twix. With me, while her blank played the blank. Mate played the fool. I'm writing it, you didn't respond quick enough.
Yes, yep.
She asked me, what does it mean, the ink on the arm? Said it was blank, 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 blank. Do you want to drink on?
What, it's five blanks?
Yeah, it's the what is ink on the arm means. Or what it's of.
What would Harry have? Massive helicopter.
It's a bloody helicopter, love.
Yeah. I think if I know one thing about Captain Harry Wales,
yeah,
is he's got a massive helicopter tattoo.
Helicopter.
Probably a Robinson R-44.
She took Jamie as a chaser, Jack for the fun. She got Arthur on the table with Johnny riding shotgun. I'm not going to replace any of that because I don't know what it means. Yeah. Chatted some more. One more blank at the bar. Twix again?
One more Twix, yeah. One they absolutely love them. They were absolutely bonding over them.
We should have said banana, but
I also think sharing a Twix is quite lovely if you're sharing a single stick, because it's a sharing chocolate. Oh. But if you're sharing individual sticks, I think
like Lady and the Tramp.
It's a higher level of intimacy that you wouldn't get from a standard chocolate bar.
If you tried to Lady and the Tramp it, it would create crumbs.
Mate, it'd be a right mess.
Yeah, but good though, innit? Then put blank on the jukebox. Got up to dance.
Twix wrapper.
Twix wrapper on the Twix wrapper. That's good. Okay, that's worse.
Now they mean business. Oh, Twix is gone.
Are we going to
served its purpose? Served its purpose.
Are we going to keep going with this?
Should we do it? Should we do another verse next week?
Let's do another verse next week. I love it. All right, here's what we've got so far. She played the organ in a Beach Boys cover band, but she fell in love with a posho man. Kissed her on the cheek, then I took her by the cheek. Said, "Baby, I just want to freak." I met her on Dean Street, right outside the bar. She shared a Twix with me while her mate played the fool. She asked me, "What does it mean, the ink on the arm?" Said it was a bloody helicopter, love. What do you want to drink on? She took Jamie as a chaser, Jack for the fun. She got Arthur on the table, Johnny riding shotgun. Chatted some more, one more Twix at the bar. Then I put the Twix wrapper on the jukebox, got up to dance. This is a beautiful feature we've stumbled on. I love
it. Wow. So
by week four, we're going to have a brand new Ed Sheeran cover.
Are we going to actually record it?
I mean, I think it would only be correct.
It's inevitable. I really can't sing. I'll do the pedals.
I think
it's me mixing it.
Karaoke versions have all the music done. We can sing it together.
I'll bring my guitar. Bring it in from home. So we're just going to leave you with that for a second while you contemplate what the hell you're listening to, and we'll be back shortly.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we've covered the important guest. Now let's cover the important rest. Am I right?
That was elegant, Joe.
Huffington Post have this to say. A YouGov survey of the British public has revealed some startling insights into who is deemed worthy of an invite to the royal wedding in May. The top four... Oh, that's all right. I was just looking at it, wondering if it's going to give away some of what we're going to do now. But it's fine, because they're sort of like clues. The top four, consisting of the groom's stepmother, a former president, arguably the greatest living national treasure, and the prime minister, are perhaps unsurprising. But the bottom of the table is where things get interesting. Now, so this is a YouGov poll, where 1,642 people, adults, were asked between the 30th and 31st of January 2018... who they think... Oh, so out of the following, who do you think Prince Harry and Meghan Markle should invite to their wedding? And they were given a list of...
Sorry, what were the age ranges against? again?
It doesn't say the age ranges.
But above...
They're just adults.
They're not kids.
So
right?
I think okay, 18 plus.
Just, okay, I just want to know what I'm pitching at.
Excluding don't know, respondents randomly saw...
I just love how...
Don't
I
mean, know.
Don't know.
Don't know. Who's that?
Don't know.
Excluding don't know, respondents randomly saw 12 of the 22 options that we're going to have here. So what we're going to do... Well, actually, I'll tell you what. Let's play this sort of double Family Fortune style.
Okay.
I want you to name people you think are on this list.
Okay.
And then I want you to guess the percentage of people that said they should definitely get an invite to the wedding.
So all these people only said one name, or they all...
They were shown 12 of the 22 possible right. responses
okay.
and then said yes or no.
Okay.
Or don't know.
Don't know.
So like, oh wait, can I have the yeah. pen? We've only got one pen.
Don't lift the curtain, Joe.
Pete, if you're listening, get us a pen. All right. So who do you reckon? Let's do the four that it hinted at, clued at, I was going to say. So the groom's stepmother. Who's that?
Camilla Parker Bowles.
How many reckon that is?
It's going to be quite high. It's quite an obvious one, like 80%.
Oh, mate, 90%.
Yeah, I probably should have gone higher.
Top of the list. Number one. Makes perfect sense. That's just pragmatic.
Mm. Yeah, you don't want to piss anyone off, do you?
Absolutely not. A former president.
Barack Obama.
Correct. What are we thinking?
I think people would like him to go, so I think high. 80%?
Oh, 73.
Shit.
Second.
75. Oh! Human.
I wasn't expecting this to get angry. Arguably, I like this one, arguably the greatest living national treasure.
Stephen Fry.
No.
Les Dennis. Greatest living national treasure.
You'll kick yourself, mate. You'll absolutely kick yourself.
No. Go on.
David Attenborough.
Oh, of course.
What are you thinking? Third in the table.
65.
70. It's your closest guess. And fourth in the top four. The Prime Minister. Benjamin Disraeli.
He's a shoo-in. He's actually buried there. he's attending against his will. Theresa May, 55.
63. So you're closest so
she
far.
She was at Will and Kate's.
Was she?
Yeah, she was, yeah.
Was she Home Secretary at the time?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Blair didn't get invited.
Well.
There you go.
You know what Blair could spell? Liar, but with a B as well. I don't know.
I don't know either. Well done.
Right, now I want you to just guess at some people.
Okay.
You've got 18 other people. Who else is on
Elton John. List? You're taking the piss if he's not there.
Incorrect. No Elton John.
Serious?
I mean, Elton John's going, isn't he?
So these are people who might go?
These are all people who... Well, they're just people.
These are people. Okay. Who else do people like?
I will say that there is a... Big drop-off in the number of people
after
in the
ones.
Percentages after those.
So these are just random celebs?
Not random. Like, they were all pretty obvious as to why. Mostly.
Victoria Beckham.
David and Victoria Beckham, I'll give you that.
There's a rumour that Victoria Beckham might be designing the dress, which apparently she's disputed because once Meghan was spotted... This is sort of knowledge that I now have at command.
That's good.
Once Meghan was spotted wearing a Victoria Beckham designed jumper.
Wow.
And that is enough for a news story to go. She's probably designing the wedding dress.
That's pretty good. David Beckham had his daughter Harper's birthday party at Buckingham Palace and it kicked off a near international incident.
What?
Because you're not allowed to be a common person having your party in Buckingham Palace.
How was he allowed to organise?
Because he knows Sarah Ferguson.
Oh, God. And Fergie organised anything.
I'll tell you what. David Beckham was very sweet about it. He was like, my daughter's my princess and I wanted to give her a nice birthday. I'm like, mate, if you're voting David Beckham, go for it.
Yeah,
I love him.
I do love David Beckham.
Imagine
well.
Not liking David Beckham. All those snarky
some
90s
people, some
things
people
about
are
him.
Really snarky about him. And I just feel like...
He's a really good guy. Yeah. He kicked one Argentinian.
I also love people like, oh, he's not very good at public speaking. He's actually pretty good now. And also, it's not what he's...
Not his job.
It's not his job.
Just because he's fitter than you. What are you thinking percentage-wise on that? I'll tell you, they're about halfway down the list.
They're halfway down. So we're talking about like 45?
38.
See, I do want them to be there.
I will tell you, the British public... don't seem to want many of these people at the wedding.
I was going to say like some rugby players, but I don't know any rugby players.
Nah, there's no rugby players.
There's not. That surprises me.
I would say lean towards politics.
Okay. Boris Johnson.
Boris is not on that list.
Sadiq Khan.
Sadiq Khan is on that list.
I hope he's quite high.
He's high-ish.
40.
43.
Ooh, hello.
He's above estimations.
We're in.
Absolutely smash that. All right, carry on. Is this fun? Should I just read them?
I feel very under pressure because I have a fairly weak interest in politics.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You've named a couple of people who are on this list already.
What?
In the course of guessing or in the course of digressions, you've already named some of them.
Stephen Fry.
Stephen Fry's on there.
Oh, what's he at? He's probably like 25%?
46. He's way up there. He's the only celebrity he's under is Ed Sheeran.
Seriously?
Ed Sheeran's 48.
Why are people obsessed with Ed Sheeran and this wedding?
Don't know. He's wormed his way in. Actually, you know what? I genuinely think there's probably a little cognitive connection going on.
It's quite a good little photo of them together.
Little bloody gingers. Why does ginger sound so mean?
It sounds harsh, doesn't it? It also rhymes with minger.
Ooh.
Which is probably the neural connection you're seeking.
Yeah. Well, I'm not seeking it. I love them.
Any more sports people in there?
There are actors.
Any writers?
No writers on the list, but remember, this is the British
people
public.
Who could go, I don't know.
Yeah, they could say, I don't know.
I don't know, I'm struggling now.
Okay.
Stephen Hawking.
No Hawking on here.
You're having a laugh.
What about ex-girlfriend Chelsea Davy?
Well, I'm sure the public would love to see her there, but she's going to... So is it high?
No.
Like 20%?
16.
I wouldn't think that... I'd be surprised people even know who that is.
Out of 1,600 people, 16% of them thought Chelsea Davy should be at the wedding.
But is that like a Jeremy Kyle, like, I would love to... like
maybe.
Just see the tension.
You've thought through this. Now, there are only three people below Chelsea Davy on this list. It's a very interesting selection. I'm wondering how we do this in a fun way. Should I just read them out and you guess which ones are lowest?
Yeah.
So we've got a mixture of... a good mix. Putin. Kim and Kanye. And Farage.
Well, Kim and Kanye have got to be at the top of those three.
No.
Seriously? No.
People want Putin more people and Farage, want Farage more than Kim. Kim and Kanye are bottom of the list with 4%.
There's something wrong with this world.
Absolutely mad.
I think people are looking for drama. I think they're thinking this is like people entering the church is like people entering the celebrity Big Brother house.
That's a good point.
And they're going to be in Windsor Castle for the next 3 hours.
Yeah.
Let's watch them.
I don't think Kim and Kanye would be.
I don't think they'd
go.
They
don't need it anyway, but like...
But maybe it's that thing, because they don't expect it. If they got it, they'd be like so overwhelmed they would attend.
Yeah, that's true. But then, yeah.
It's kind
maybe.
Of... Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? But yeah, Putin and Farage, both above Kim and Kanye. We've got also Vince Cable, not much love for him. Donald and Melanie Trump, beaten by a mixture of the Clintons.
I love that you anglicised it then. You said Melanie.
Did I? Melanie Trump.
Mel
Trump.
Mel and Don.
Don and Mel. Coming around some angel delight.
Well, Don's not coming around, is he?
Don's got a dicky tummy.
just do some chips for Don.
Don and Mel beaten by Hillary and Bill. Hill and Bill. Corbyn. Merkel. Macron. And Mary Berry. Mary Berry's like 39%. She's way up there.
Yeah, I can see that though. She's
People
like...
love her.
She's got a common touch, but also a bit posh.
Oh, she's more than a bit posh.
I know, but
come
she's
on,
still,
mate.
Like, very, like, homely.
Yeah. But I will say, under the top four, rounding out the top five, I'm very happy with this. Because it implies that the British public do have their head screwed on Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
The thinking man's sexy politician.
But, like, he's a dead cert because, obviously, the Commonwealth connections.
Obviously.
He's associated with the Invictus Games as well, I think. He's a dead cert.
And he used to have that sweet haircut and goatee combo where he looked like he was in System of a Down. I love him. Oh, Justin, you can be my Prime Minister any day.
Do you still regard him as slightly your Prime Minister because you're a bit Canadian?
A little bit.
Yeah, he's a good one.
In the same way that I don't regard anyone in Australian politics as my Prime Minister because they're all shitheads.
Do you know, like, if you got a royal invitation, like, you feel quite obliged to attend because it is a big deal. But you know, for Kate and Will's wedding, some people did decline. And on Wikipedia, you can find a list of the people that declined and reasons why they declined.
And they're all dead.
But they're mainly like royals, because I feel like no normal person will feel comfortable declining a royal invite except another royal, because to them, it's just another social engagement.
I mean, it's not just another. It's a state event.
Because it's British. It means more.
Exactly.
But just read you a couple of these.
What have you got?
The King of Sweden declined an invite to Kate and Will's wedding.
Oh, I didn't realise you had this prepared.
He declined due to his own birthday celebrations the day after.
Fair play, mate.
Sweden. He could get there in an hour.
Yeah, but you don't want to be hungover on your birthday. And
you
there's no
drink.
Way.
You don't have to drink. You can say, King of Sweden, you know, hold back. Save yourself for tomorrow.
As if you're not going mental at the royal wedding.
Or turn it into a two-dayer.
Absolute two-dayer. Yeah. Wakes up bleary-eyed on his birthday. Carry on a plane!
You can say to all the people that are nearby, going, well, if you're in London, Stockholm's only 45 minutes on EasyJet. EasyJet, go stand instead.
That'd be great. Imagine that, getting on his little jet.
Crown Prince and Crown Princess of Japan declined. I think this is more understandable because of the earthquake and tsunami.
Yeah.
And that's fair enough.
Also, 11-hour flight for a wedding of people you don't know that well.
Yeah, I know.
Not going to do it.
You wouldn't know
tsunami
many people
or no
there.
Tsunami.
You wouldn't know many people there. My favourite one, though,
I'm not gonna lie. Forgot they had a Crown Prince.
This is one of my favourite, though. Richie McCaw, the New Zealand National Rugby Union captain.
Fair play to you, mate.
Declined due to commitments to his Super Rugby club, the Crusaders.
His Super Rugby club.
Super Rugby. That's Super Rugby on the next day.
Is that where they're all twice as big and they've got better stats?
I love this. Also, Brian O'Driscoll, Ireland National Rugby captain, declined.
All the rugby players turning it
in. Aye. He's playing in Heineken Cup the day after.
Yeah, fair play.
I love that.
He's playing the Heineken Cup. You know what that code for? Having a little drink in Sweden with a king.
No, it's a cup of Heineken.
Oh, yeah.
It does, you
know, big old cup of Heineken.
He's on the pissing to lose. But speaking about guests.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about one guest in particular, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in relation to something I revealed at the beginning of the show.
The
wedding has been taking place at midday. And now this was a topic of conversation in relation to Prince William.
Mm.
Because we know the date of the wedding is also the day of the FA Cup final.
Obviously.
And William is, the head of the FA? Like He's not the head of the FA. He's like, what's it called?
Mascot.
He's the mascot. He's the big posh mascot of the FA.
Looks a bit like the cup these days.
So he usually, one of his kind of responsibilities is handing out the trophy at the FA Cup final.
That'd be a wicked job.
Now, the FA Cup final usually takes place about 5 o'clock, 5:30 these days because of TV. And a lot of people were like, will he be able to do it? Will he be able to attend the wedding and go to the FA Cup final?
Can jump in Harry's Apache.
And people are saying that he can't do it. Because he needs to be at his brother's wedding. He might be best man, so he might be doing speeches afterwards.
Oh.
I'm trying to work out whether he can do it or not. So I did a little bit of research. So as the crow flies between St. George's Chapel, Windsor, and Wembley Stadium, it's 15 miles exactly.
Okay. 15
miles. It's not far at all. That's as the crow flies, Joe.
That's piss.
And that's crows straight, always
walk
straight.
Walk it. Drunk.
Well, walking, it would take you 5 hours and 51 minutes.
Walk it.
So let's take into consideration, he wants to be there at the beginning of the match, ideally. Doesn't have to be, but ideally. If he got there after the match and went straight from the wedding, he probably could walk it.
Also,
he would get there for the end of the match.
Trophy handout's probably like half an hour later as well.
So if the match starts at, 5 o'clock the match starts?
I think it's 5 o'clock.
So take that 5:45, 50 minutes for six. You talk about 6:45 when the game ends, probably a bit longer for extra time.
Yeah. And you have got, I reckon
you've
got
to set up the stage and stuff.
Yeah. 15 minutes, half an hour extra.
He could actually walk it.
Easy. Get your skis on, cross country it.
That would take 5 hours, 51 minutes.
If he doesn't do it, he's lazy.
Joe, that's going via Witten Avenue, which on a Saturday, you must be joking me.
Pedestrian, though.
Yeah, but on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Cycling would take 1 hour, 39 minutes.
Is it that much quicker to cycle?
Yeah.
I should cycle everywhere.
Bikes are way quick.
Shame you die on them all the time.
And that would be going via Grand Union Canal, which is a lovely
view. Ooh, especially in the summer.
Cars, 50 minutes. 50 minutes. Which is on the North Circular.
50 minutes for a 15-mile ride. What's wrong? They should fix our infrastructure.
It's on the North Circular, that's why. Traffic on a Saturday. You've got Wembley traffic.
On FA Cup day, come on. You're joking, aren't
public
you?
Public transport is just a no-go, I think, Joe, because you can't have William in full ceremonial gear going to the Slough bus station, Bay 8, to get an overground to Paddington.
I mean, it'll make a great bit of footage.
But thing is, I thought, what is the quickest way? And it is helicopters.
Obviously Apache.
I don't know about it. Apache, but I contacted Atlas Helicopters.
Did you?
Which are a helicopter service that you can book. And they particularly specialise in taking rich people to football games.
Do they really?
So you can hire them. They are fitted out in luxurious leather with enough room for you and five guests. Our beautiful aircraft will take you directly to any stadium in the country. They offer in-flight catering, the latest football magazines.
Yes, please, plus 442.
Plus complimentary champagne. You'll arrive in a sparkling mood and ready to cheer on your team.
With all the latest facts from Shoot Magazine.
So I think they operate a Robinson R-44, which is the best-selling general aviation aircraft in the world.
You got a picture?
Has been since 1999. No, but I can draw you one with the singular pen that we own.
Please do.
Okay. They have a cruising speed of 130 miles per hour. So you're talking.
Ooh, that's not
so
bad.
You're talking 6 minutes 55 seconds.
I'm sorry. Helicopters go that fast.
Yeah.
Why are they allowed?
You know, actually, it is the most unsafe mode of transport.
Of course it is. It's a jug with a fan on top.
You can do it in 6 minutes. Of course it's unsafe.
That's mad. I want to reiterate, they are a jug with a fan on top. That's it. That's what you're in. Grow up.
Joe, I've drawn you a picture of the Robinson R-44. What do you think?
Oh, I really like it. It looks like Budgie.
Yeah.
So you know who Budgie was created by? Sarah Ferguson. Always tying back
wasn't
in.
It? That's a weird thing.
Very strange.
So I contacted them and I put in all the details, put in the day, the time, where we'd be going, where we're going from.
Where we'd be going.
Yeah.
Me, you, and Lils.
Well, I said, I put all that information in. And I think this is pretty reasonable. It's £3,113.30.
6 minutes to the FA Cup final. So I'd pay that in a heartbeat.
That's the quote. That's one way.
That's 1 week's...
No, that's return, actually. That's return.
That's 1 week's pay for this podcast.
Isn't it? That's the email I got back from them.
Yeah.
And then I replied, I can fly a helicopter. Would that make it any cheaper?
Good.
And then they didn't reply.
What?
Which I think is not on, because I was offering something there.
Name and shame, what's the...
Atlas Helicopters.
Atlas Helicopters. Grow
because,
a pair.
Because you wouldn't need anyone, he could just do it himself. Just drop off the helicopter.
That's mad that they don't let you rent.
He can easily, as long as he doesn't have a drink when he's doing the speeches, just measure himself,
yeah.
Do it later. He can be there, back, he can walk it, cycle it, helicopter if he wants to leave it late.
We're ignoring the fact that Harry can fly a helicopter.
He can't leave though, Joe.
No, he can leave for... It takes 6 minutes. It'll take him 12 minutes and back.
He can't be explaining that on his wedding day, that he's nipped off to drop off his brother at the football.
Say he's got a nervous dump. I'm all nervous about my life. I've got
to do a
big...
No, he should be enjoying the day. He's allowed to have a drink. He can't be like, oh, Harry, you said you dropped me off at Wembley. He's got to nip out.
You know he'll have a drink as well. He's going to be raucous.
Imagine that, just landing on the centre circle.
What?
Just chucking out the cup.
That'd be brilliant, chucking. Tries to do it. That's a penalty.
Doing it one-handed. Or drop it down to you.
It's just filled with fucking iron brew and vodka.
So I think this whole frenzy around whether William can do it, whether he could fulfil his role, is all a load of nonsense.
I've laid
out lots of options for him there.
I like
it. It's not a problem. Stop worrying, everyone.
Good on you. Particularly. That's very good research.
Cool. Thank
you're
you.
You're very clever.
Yeah. I got in early to do that.
No, you didn't.
I was sad they didn't reply.
Yeah. They're just consulting.
Yeah.
Maybe email them again.
Maybe they're looking into the insurance of it.
Email them again and say, what are we talking if we cut out the catering as well? Because he's 6 minutes. He's not going to eat it.
Yeah.
You might manage a couple
of
olives.
You don't need the football magazines. You can't be reading if he's flying.
Are we saying Wills is flying?
Well, I wanted to know if Will was flying, whether that knocked down the price somewhat. Because I want it to be easier on the taxpayer.
You're very good.
Yeah.
Well done, mate.
Because they're paying for everything apart from the security. We're paying for the security. They're paying for everything else.
Security. Yeah. Maybe it's insecure to let a prince fly a helicopter to Wembley.
We can get 5 special agents in it.
Was that going to cost more? Is it 3,000?
They're probably
on
the clock anyway. Like,
that's true.
Yeah.
Easy.
Anyway.
All right, that's good. Have you got anything else?
Nope.
Is it conspiracy time?
Yes.
I've got a conspiracy for you. One guest you're not going to see, according to the internet, is Michelle Obama. Because according to, I've forgotten the name of the website, but you know what? They don't deserve it because they're absolute pricks. Apparently, Michelle received a well-deserved and humiliating beatdown. And do you know from who? The Queen.
What?
Queen doesn't like Michelle. Queen Elizabeth has personally removed Michelle and Barack Obama from the guest list for Prince Harry's wedding to Meghan Markle, according to British reports. You know we were talking about sources.
Yeah.
This is part... Actually, this is a very interesting digression. If you look for conspiracy stories on YouTube, you will find...
Oh, you find very few.
I do it a lot. You'll find multiple versions of the same story, somewhat similar but not quite the same, either read by robot voices or people off camera. And if you look into them, they're always from the same fake news websites.
What?
Like evil pro-Trump nonsense machines that just churn out bile. And it's very, like, it's quite harrowing going, like, this is all being, because they've all got hundreds of thousands of views.
Shit.
And you just look at it and you're like, oh my God, there, it works. The whole thing works. Shut down YouTube. Keep our bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Our bit at our work.
We won't be doing that.
No, we're absolutely...
We struggle to get 100,000
We create
views.
Our own fake news. Oh. The best of them.
Should we get more of those robot voices?
That would actually be good. Mm. Anyway, invitations to royal weddings in England have traditionally been extended to the sitting president of the United States and the current first lady. So when Queen Elizabeth saw what Michelle Obama was up to, trying to sneak a spot at the wedding at the expense of the real POTUS and FLOTUS... Which, POTUS and FLOTUS... I don't like the people who occupy those positions, but I'm glad that they exist to have those names. She delivered Michelle a well... The Queen delivered Michelle a well-deserved and humiliating beatdown. And this is where it just never really actually addresses what they're talking about. It just goes off and it's just... Right, here we go. While Barack Obama has been travelling around the world operating as some kind of shadow president and attempting to undermine the real POTUS... Michelle has been trying to push her way into every major social event where she doesn't belong and is apparently not invited. It's somewhere between terrifying, like dystopian future and like kids squabbling over a birthday party.
A petty indignancy.
It's so weird. When Michelle Obama heard the news that Prince Harry was marrying a black American girl, she assumed it was her rightful place to be on that guest list. Come on, guys. Michelle made a desperate move to sneak a spot on the guest list. How do you sneak a spot?
I don't know.
For an 800-person wedding in England. But unfortunately for the female first lady, the guest list had to be approved by the Queen of England herself. And then here's a subheading forever, for all time, timeline of Queen Elizabeth's brutal Obama smackdown.
It's so weird using the term smackdown and beatdown in relation to the Queen.
It just goes, like...
Circular.
Just goes mad, like, carries on talking about exactly the same things again. It refers to Barack having been practically stalking Prince Harry on Twitter.
What?
Blah, blah, blah. The Obamas are experts at playing the crowd for fools. Michelle was trying to do something worse to shove the Trumps aside. That's page 1 of 3. Michelle has been doing the rounds on the speaking tour later, trashing Trump. She gushed over the Queen.
What?
Poor choice of words. Something about Trump again. She's making fun of Trump's tweets. She says, "What do you do with the Queen? I touched her. She touched me first." Adding that her dream dinner guest would be Jesus, whom she'd serve pizza. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on.
And basically, the problem here is that there was famously once a picture of Michelle where she had her arm around the Queen.
Right, and it was considered improper.
It was considered improper, but this is saying the Queen felt so grossly disrespected by Michelle that she royally snubbed the former First Lady after the touchy-feely offence. And what it's doing is talking about that, and then it just ends. and never actually says that she's not taken her off the guest list. It just says at the start she did it, never actually gets into it. But anyway, let's finish it up. Michelle may think she's royalty and even try to act like it, which they're acknowledging. Michelle holds herself extremely well and is beloved by a lot of people because she acts like royalty. She is the queen. But she's got nothing on the actual Queen of England, who is the real deal, and put her in her place. The Queen does what she wants, and by kicking desperate Michelle Obama off the guest list and extending an invitation to the real POTUS and FLOTUS instead, she showed she's no one's fool.
I do love the refrain that the Queen does
what she wants. She does what she wants. She does what she wants. Queen of England, she does what she wants.
Piss off, I'm the Queen. I'd do 90 if I want.
She wears like a really fancy leather jacket, kicks over a bit.
She's shoplifting. Yeah, she's the Queen. You going to bring it up? I'm not.
What are you going to do? She put ear in her hair. A load of pencils.
What would I do? Buy it with money with my face on it?
Going Ooh. Around Pets at Home stealing all the corgi stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if people like overreact with the Queen with stuff like that. Because obviously there's a whole etiquette in place when you meet a royal of like what is recommended that you do. Because I think I went on the royal website and there is like a list of things you're meant to do. But it says at the top, it's like no one has to do it, but it's considered traditional.
Yeah.
And there's like handshaking and curtsying and all that. I wonder if people just build it up to be like if you don't do it, people around her freak out.
Exactly.
Where she's absolutely fine. It's like once we had Vin Diesel in the office and all his people were freaking out that we didn't have crisps. So we had to go out and buy him some crisps. I think we got
But he didn't touch one.
I think we got some salt and black pepper kettle chip crisps.
Oh, I love those.
He didn't touch them. Didn't touch him.
That's more for us.
And I don't know whether he, like behind closed doors, he was angry about that, or whether it's just his people.
He's a good lad.
He was very nice.
I reckon he's all right. It's interesting. I think you're right. And I think when you say people around her freak out, the tabloids are the ultimate version of the people around her.
What's the echo of that?
They're just desperate. Desperate for outrage. So they're like, oh, she put her arm around our queen, bloody hell.
I mean, the queen's like, thank you for queen's touching like, me.
It's really nice.
It's first of all, I've not been,
literally no one shows me human
by
affection.
A woman before. My life could have been so different. Right, we've got two emails here, Joe. These are the inaugural emails to the Windsor Knot Pod.
Yeah.
So you can email us anytime you want, show@thewindsornotpod.com.
That's the beauty of email. You can do it whenever you want.
This first email is from a chap called, this is an amazing name. If this is actually your name, it's called Hunter Tuggle.
Hunter Tuggle?
Hunter Tuggle.
You what? And Victoria Arbuter need to have a chat.
That's a brilliant name. My name is Hunter, and I am an American who will probably have some questions during these podcasts.
Please send them in.
Please
I was going to respond to that, but you know what? I can't.
Is it a big deal in the UK to take a child to higher rated films, even though a parent is with them? So this goes back to episode one, where I was really angry that as a child I saw Princess Diana take Harry and William to an age inappropriate movie.
Mm.
And he says, in the US, as long as a parent is with the child, we won't even bat an eye. I'm just curious why it's such a big deal. I think it's up there with a parent if the child is mature enough. It's up to the parent if the child is mature enough to see the movie. Harry probably wasn't, but I believe Diana did was not a big deal.
I thought he was going to say, but Will's probably was.
Yeah. I think at the time it is illegal to take a child to an age-inappropriate movie in the UK.
And it remains so except for 12A in our country.
Yeah, and also like one of the reasons they brought the 12A in, I Spider-Man. Don't know if this is really true, but this is the story, is because of Spider-Man, because Pressure, it came out in the UK and it was 12. So they invented a new rating called 12A because so many kids, obviously, understandably, wanted to see Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire, Sam Raimi one from 2002.
Famously violent Spider-Man.
Well, you say that, but right at the end, he is impaled through the stomach, the Green Goblin, on his own glider.
You're not wrong, and like, I apologise for my snark.
It's quite gory, but like, still, it's fantasy violence. But he is bleeding out.
And Willem Dafoe.
Why did they give him a mask?
Come back,
he's got
Willem.
The perfect face for the Green Goblin. Insane that they did that. There's a brilliant drawing. This is a digression.
Hmm.
There's a brilliant drawing of the Green Goblin done by Alex Ross, the comic book painter.
Oh, yeah.
And it literally looks like Willem Dafoe painted green.
It's like
with a little purple hat on.
It's literally the same. There's a line in a Weird Al Yankovic song about Spider-Man set to Piano Man. Piano Man instead of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's good. Where it says, but he's scarier without it on. It's very good.
Absolutely. Anyway. And he says, why is this such a big deal? I would refer you, Hunter, back to episode one when I tell an in-depth story about the ire I felt at not seeing Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes. But it is, yeah, it is illegal. So
I thought it would have been illegal in America to take a kid. Sure, you can't take them to an X-rated movie.
Not X, but you can take them to an R.
Really?
Yeah, as long as you've got an 18-plus person, they can take younger people into an R. I think with reason. Or, you know, like, not with reason.
You can't
within
take a kid's
reason.
Pie.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I mean, like, it's also worth pointing out that the reason that was a big deal in the press is, again, tabloids love it. Like, yeah. She's done something wrong, therefore
we'll
talk about
it.
And
it's also her, like, I think, abusing her position.
Yes.
Because the people at the Odeon Cinema, like, were probably, like, teenagers working a Saturday job, didn't feel like they could say no to, you know, the future Queen of England at the time.
Yes.
And, like, she kind of forced them to do something illegal, in a sense. There you go.
Yeah, she forced them.
Yeah. Mm.
Queen of Hearts.
Joe, do you have one?
I do. It's from Christopher Crow, which is also a good name. Good morning to you, lads, and God save the Queen of Suits. She's wicked.
I really like that.
I was just wondering, maybe we should say that all the time.
Queen of Suits, yeah.
I was just wondering if you had any suggestions for appropriate attire to wear whilst listening to the episodes of the podcast. I have my top hat on, obviously, but is it a Cane and Tails event? Or a dapper tweed jacket with leather elbow pads sort of affair? Blessed be the corgis, Chris Crow. Now, I would say top hat and nude.
What, for the big day?
No, for listening to the podcast.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like, you can be nude as the day you're born, as long as you're wearing a top hat.
Yeah, I think psychologically that would throw people.
Throw them where?
Well, to confront that person. If they've got a top hat on, you would think, ooh.
I'm talking in the pleasure of your own home.
I thought you meant on the tube.
Not on the tube. Pants. And a top hat.
And tails.
Pants, tails, and top hat.
But nips out.
Oh, nips out. 100%.
It's a big day, isn't it?
Yeah, if you've got the one button done up that covers the nips.
I think actually...
Then when you laugh, it just goes, ooh.
Importantly, though, if you are taking Joe's advice and going predominantly nude, you want to keep tweed to a minimum.
Oh, 100%, because it's scratchy.
It is. Ooh, that's like a bristle pad.
Someone who had to wear tweed
Brillo.
For school.
Did you?
For special events.
What, like PE?
It's called best uniform.
This uniform for me, please.
Well, let me describe both my uniforms. Standard everyday uniform was...
Sorry, how many?
I had two.
Okay.
Standard one, corduroy trousers. Shorts, if you were under...
Do you know what the word corduroy means?
I don't.
It's French for...
Corduroy. Like the king.
Yes, fabric of the king.
Yeah, that's pretty good, though, isn't it? I worked it out.
Very good. Oh, because you can speak French, can you, Joe?
No. I don't know. A bit. corduroy trousers and a sickly green shirt and a woolly jumper with leather elbow pads. And then for best uniform, which was for when dignitaries, or I don't know, David Beckham came to our school once.
Seriously?
We wore best uniform.
That's right. Because
I think Brooklyn was going to go? Not sure. And then for other schools visiting, you had to wear the best uniform. And it was a tweed suit, which is mad.
What colour tweed?
Like a brown. Okay. If you've ever seen the band The Young Knives, who often dressed in tweed... We look like them. We look like bloody young knives. It's so weird seeing 9-year-olds in tweed, man. That shouldn't be allowed. It's very strange. But anyway, I would never wear tweed with nude parts of me exposed.
I had a viscose blazer that I once melted in chemistry and it turned into like the sludge that Venom is made out of.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's quite nice to melt it.
Yeah, that sounds
exciting. I'm fine. I'm perfectly adjusted. But I once melted it and it just went all like...
You weren't in
thready
it, though,
and tenderly. No, I wasn't in it. I'm
good.
Mad. lovely. So yeah, if you want to email us, send us anything you like, ask us questions, and you can get in touch at show@thewindsornotpod.com.
Yes, please.
Or you can get in contact if you go to Twitter and go to @windsornotpod.
Yes, like Kieran Thomas did. Kieran Thomas sent us some excellent feedback, which is that when we were talking about cakes and particularly Queen Victoria's cake, which we said must have had the density of a neutron star. He actually did the calculations to work out what it had the density of.
Absolutely. I love that he calls it Queen Vic.
Yeah. He said, I did some quick calcs, which he's clearly a mathematician, because calcs? How am I meant to know what that is? I think it was calciums. After listening to the logistics episode of Windsor Not Pod, assuming a height of 14 inches and the circumference of 3 yards and 300 pounds mass, Queen Vic's cake works out at 680 kilograms per meter squared. No, per meter's cubed density, which is about the density of mahogany. Which, that's a very tough wood.
That's a dense wood, yeah. You're making pianos out of that.
You're making pianos out of that cake. There's probably still cakey pianos hanging around in the darker corners of Frogmore House. Which we
imagine that. Imagine
week.
Alternating keys of Victoria's sponge and fruitcake.
For the
ivory and the ebony.
That would be very good. Ebony and Ivory would be a very different song if it was
about
Victoria's
sponge. It's about people who like Victoria's sponge and people like fruitcake. Honestly, can we just all get along? They're both equally good cakes.
Yes. Anyway, that's all we've bloody got for you, and I hope you're happy with yourselves. This has been the Windsor Knot Pod. Please email and tweet us because we ever so like it.
And also, review us on iTunes. Go to iTunes. You could. I don't care what you think about it. Just say you like it. Give it 5 stars.
We were featured on iTunes this week.
Yeah, so honestly, just go there, say something nice. If you've got nothing nice to say, don't do it.
Sod
off. Just do 5 stars. Just leave it at that. That's minimal effort. Just do 5 stars and walk away.
Andrew Lake, RIP.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.